to receive your word this morning. And it's not my word, it is your word. So I pray that as our hearts are open to you, that we would hear your word to us this morning. And not only would we hear your word, but we would respond to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning. Okay, so this morning we're going to continue to build upon the platform that Lloyd and Amanda have begun to understand why it is that we would want to look at creating new spiritual habits. We're going to look at what some of the spiritual disciplines are and how they may outwork in our lives. Trevor Hudson, in the introduction of his book called Discovering Our Spiritual Identity, says, "Spirituality is being intentional about the development of those Christ-shaped convictions, attitudes, and actions through which our identity as God's beloved is formed and given personal expression within our everyday lives. Thankfully, as we seek more to become intentional in our Christ following, we receive a gracious gift. Jesus himself, in the power of his Spirit, emerges from the pages of the gospel, steps into our lives, and becomes an empowering and transforming presence. We discover how Christ can be our living teacher today, as he was for those disciples, all those men who discarded their nets on the beaches in the Sea of Galilee. And as we fall into step with him within the beloved community, he shows us his way to live and provides us with his strength to follow. Most wonderful of all, we discover that we are not alone. So as we seek to be intentional in following Christ, the Holy Spirit reveals to us Jesus, who he is, and he teaches us the way to live. And of course, his words mirror so beautifully the words of Matthew, that we read in Matthew 11:28-30 from the Message, which Jesus says, "Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover life. I'll show you how to have a real rest. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." Why we choose to look at the teachings of spiritual disciplines is because as we learn them, as we walk with Jesus, as we work with him, as we watch how he does it, we learn to live freely and lightly. You know, we live in a time where people yearn for this kind of free and light living and pursue it through many different avenues and pathways, attending seminars and retreats to find it. Remember the book, the movie, Eat, Pray, Love? A woman's quest for this kind of life. She leaves everything to just try and discover in different areas all around the world. Yet as we read in the scripture, Jesus, the creator of the universe, the lover of our souls, invites us to come and learn from him, from his ways, in such a way that it fits well with us and it isn't overwhelming. A way in which we can remain in the world we live in, rubbing shoulders with the humanity that we rub shoulders with, yet allows us to grow in our spirituality, knowing who God is and who we are in him. The book of Haggai, we read about God telling the people that it's time now to come and to rebuild the temple. The temple had been destroyed, and now God was wanting it to be a place to be built so that he could be worshipped. And he says in Haggai, "I want a place that I may take delight in it, and a place where I will be honored." He says, "A place where I can take pleasure in it, and I will be honored." But before they were to begin building this temple, God asks them to consider their ways. He says, "What's life like for you now? How are things going for you?" and God being God, he tells them what life is like for them. And then he says to them, okay, now what I want you to do is I want you to go and get the resources, and this is what I want you to use. I want you to consider that. He's asking them to consider, will we follow his ways? Will we get his resources to build the temple, or will we do our own thing? As they start building and they start getting into it, he says again, consider your ways. What's it like? What are you thinking? And then again, towards the end of the time there, he says, give careful thought to your ways. I want them to think, what was life like before? What was life like during when you started to change your ways and build this temple and do things my way, to live life this way? What is life like for you now? You know, if we're to then transfer that, Paul says that we are the living temples of the Holy Spirit. Would it not then mean that we too could take these words, consider your ways? What's life like for us now? As we start to take hold of the truth and the ways of Jesus, what's life like? What do we have to consider? What things might we have to change? And as we go through, we need to continually be asking, consider our ways. Are we following the right path? Are we staying on track? Are we changing? Are we becoming more like Christ? What are our ways like? What is the outcome? He says, we consider our ways and look to Jesus to teach us about kingdom living. We may find certain teachings easier to grasp, while others may be a bit more of a challenge, which means that we have to possibly apply our will. We have to discipline our minds, our bodies, our souls. As we look to the life of Jesus, we see too that there were times when he struggled and had to submit his will to the will of the Father. See, I read this passage in a book, and I could not find it again, but I know it was in one of the Dallas Willard books, when he talks about the kingdom of God and how we desire to live in the kingdom of God. But there's also, and I can only talk for myself, the kingdom of Kate. And so in God's kingdom, there is this perfect, beautiful way of living. It's the right way, it honours God, it brings glory to God, it's healthy, it's whole, it's everything that we desire. Meanwhile, in the kingdom of Kate, it's not quite like that. And for me, who does actually desire to live in the kingdom, to have kingdom living, means that I have to submit my kingdom to the rule of the kingdom of God. So what do I have rule over? Queenly? Authority? Anointing? No. I have the authority over my thoughts, over my will, over my actions, over my decisions. So to live this kingdom life, I have to submit my rule, my thoughts, to God, to this kingdom that we desire to live in, that I desire to live in. My thoughts, my will, my action. So of course, naturally, there is going to be this bit of a rub as I lay and as I surrender myself down to pick up and to learn to walk this new way of kingdom living. Paul in the Bible has quite a lot to say about the spiritual disciplines and living a disciplined life. And he likens them in 1 Corinthians 9, 24-27 to like athletes running a race. You see, the audience that he was speaking to would understand about the training that an athlete goes through, because every 2 years there was this games that would come to Corinth called the Isthmus Games. That's what it says, Isthmus Games. So I guess if he was talking to us today, having, 4 years ago had the Rugby World Cup, he would probably use a rugby analogy or something like that that we would understand. That's why he's using it here. And he says in 1 Corinthians, you've all been to the stadium and seen the athletes race. Everyone runs, but only one wins. Run to win. All good athletes train hard. They do it for a gold medal that tarnishes and fades. But you're after one that's gold eternally. I don't know about you, but I'm running hard for the finish line. I'm giving it everything I've got. No sloppy living for me. I'm staying alert and in top condition. I'm not going to get caught napping, telling everyone else about it, and then missing out myself. The thing is, too, that in this day when Paul was writing, discipline was part of the Jewish faith. Praying, giving, studying the word and fasting were just some of them. It's what the Jewish people did. So Paul's encouragement wasn't a how to do it. It was an encouragement then to continue to do it. And we see this emphasized in the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus gives, where he's speaking to the crowds and he says, when you give, when you pray, when you fast, not if you fast or if you feel like giving, maybe you could do it this way. No. But it's also Paul is writing to encourage those non-Jews who had become Christians, and possibly those disciplines weren't part of their heritage like it was. Throughout time, it seems that using our will when it comes to Christian living or Christ-like living means that we have to become religious about things. I mean, it's okay to be disciplined regarding the things that we eat if we want to lose weight. It's okay to be disciplined, to discipline ourselves if we want to exercise to get fit or remain in a sports team. And it's okay to study all hours of the day and night so that we can pass our exams. But of course we don't want to become religious about our faith. Because if we do, then doesn't it mean that it becomes about the law and not about the Spirit? And then if it's something doesn't feel right and it doesn't fit with our thoughts of what being spiritual is, could it be that we might dismiss these kinds of practices? Maybe we need to start looking at disciplines rather than having this negative connotation. Changing the words, we're not going to change the word, but thinking of it as surrendering, going back to that kingdom living. But then we have to think too about what is our end goal. Why would we even consider practicing spiritual disciplines? If we go back to the scripture in Matthew, it says so that we could live lightly and freely. And then looking at the book of Haggai, so that we would bring pleasure and honor to God. So it may well be that we stand here feeling that the yoke of spiritual disciplines might feel a little bit strange and unusual on our shoulders in our thinking. But the thing is that the spiritual disciplines give form and direction to us as we become more intentional in our Christ following. Okay, so what are the spiritual disciplines? Okay, from the teaching of Dallas Willard, we read that there are two categories of disciplines or habits, if we don't like that word. There are the disciplines of abstinence and the disciplines of engagement. So the disciplines of abstinence include solitude, silence, chastity, frugality, fasting, secrecy, sacrifice. And those of engagement include study, worship, prayer, celebration, confession, fellowship and submission. Now, when I hear some of these words like abstinence, chastity, frugality, secrecy, it kind of makes me think of 16th century monks and nuns. So for me, the challenge is, how do I view these disciplines? How do I look at these habits through the eyes of Jesus so that they make sense today, the 3rd of May 2015? Because I truly believe that these disciplines aren't meant to contain us. They're actually to set us free. And when, you know, this is taking me a little while to kind of realize this, and it's the word that Berenice brought, which is kind of like, thank you, Lord. Because I know that one of the scriptures that was overriding this message this morning was, when you know the truth, then the truth will set you free. And I think this is what these disciplines do. They actually set us free. And it's amazing how as you start to open yourself up to them and what they might look like, how they start to play out in your life in very simple ways, it's incredible. The thing is, as I've said before, sometimes as we look at these challenges, some you'll be able to sort of pick off and go, yep, oh, I can do that. Yep, I love to worship. I can engage in that, or I love to fellowship, I love to hang out with other people and encourage other people, but ooh, you know, one there might be just a little bit challenging. I'm not sure about that. But the thing is, what we have to do is have our end goal in mind. Our end goal is that we would live freely and lightly, that we would bring honor and pleasure to God. So I spent the latter part of last year, and my focus, our family focus, really was Thailand. So really, a lot of what I did was focused towards that. About fundraising, getting prepared, meeting with the team, you know, wondering, thinking about it, being in contact with Sandy, the missionary over there. And so when I got there, with all that preparation, and of course there's always more that we could have done, I was able to really enjoy it, and I did, and I absolutely loved my time there. So I came back home, and on the beginning of the year, it's like, okay, so what am I going to do? What are my goals? What am I about? You know that scripture that says, without a vision, a man will perish? I'm not going to perish if I don't have one, but what I tend to do is kind of wander aimlessly, and kind of there is a sense of dissatisfaction if I don't have something that I'm working towards. So I settled on two goals. One is a goal that I've probably had for quite some time, and one is a relatively new one. One is a goal that, to be honest, I don't really like. It's one that I'm doing, okay, because I know that it's good for me. And, And the other one, I just love. I think about, do I love it? I like it. I do find pleasure in it. I have to be honest. There's an element of that in there. So one of my goals that I have had is to create a productive garden. Now, what that means is that I want to be able to walk out to my garden and to be able to pick fresh vegetables and fruit and herbs and all those kind of things. Now, I know for some of you, that comes very, very easily for you, but for me, it does not. I do not have a green finger, and I do not like having dirt under my fingernails. Now, because I know that gardening is good for me, that gardening is not good for me. Haven't got there yet. Because I know that fresh vegetables are good for me, they've been unsprayed, they're healthy for my family, I have to then think about how I'm going to do it. So I knew that I could not do it on my own. I needed a mentor. So I joined up with other people on a course to be encouraged along the way in the art of gardening. And I did do it. I did what I was told. Often it would be the, please make sure you have sowed your seeds. This is the last week. You do not want to be having a late crop, sow your seeds. These emails would come through. So I did eventually sow my seeds, and they did pop up, and it was exciting then. And then I had to transplant it from there, and I had to kind of make these little things and pop them in, and I wasn't enjoying it. I'll be honest. I really wanted to enjoy it, but I didn't. And then the jolly things needed watering, so they'd all be droopy, and I'd have to kind of resurrect them. I started to talk to my plants. I started to pray in Jesus' name that they'd be restored and revived. But what happened was, over the weeks and months, I would go out to my garden and I would water it. I would lie in bed and I'd hear the rain. I'd go, oh, God's watering my garden for me. That would be my first thought, would be, oh, the garden's being watered. And I'd go out in the early light when it was quite warm. I'd sort of tiptoe along the top of the edging, and I'd be looking and seeing what's come up, and sometimes not a lot was happening and everything. Even while we were in Thailand, I'd be thinking, oh, I wonder how my garden's going. Is she watering it? We had someone staying in our house. Is she watering it? I hope she is. And then when we came back, you know, I got in at about 1 o'clock in the morning. I turned all the lights on outside and went out and had a look around in my garden. I was connected with my garden. Did I love gardening yet? Not really. Sorry, Sarah. But I did it. It became a habit. And my garden is still growing. I still have things that I have planted in the garden. And I'm looking forward to my crop of leeks that are coming through and my broccoli. When I listed the things that we had, I was able to pick fresh herbs, courgettes, tomatoes, spinach, bell peppers, chili peppers, leeks, broccoli, cabbage, lettuce. I don't think I put lettuce in there. Rhubarb, feijoas, tamarillos, and apples. Those are all the things that I've been able to pick out of my garden. I don't happily skip out to the garden by any means. I wander out because I think, I wonder what's happening in my garden. It has become what I believe a discipline. For the end goal in sight, I will garden. Yeah, I'll go through that. Thankfully, I have a husband who covers me at times as well. Okay, so yeah, my goal is fresh produce, therefore I will do. My other goal, though, I have a very different viewpoint. Okay, so my goal for this year is to run a half marathon in July. So I've committed, I've paid my entrance fees, I've bought my tickets to get there. To get my training in on top of my family and work life means that sometimes I have to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. And lately I've been going in the dark and coming back in the dark. 45 minutes to 90 minutes of pound, 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 pound. You know, that's not fun for a lot of people, but I actually really enjoy it. So I'm happy to do that. I'm happy to get up. You know, I've run in the rain. I've run in the wind. I don't think I'll run in the wind and the rain together. But I'm prepared to do that because for me, that's okay. I'm really happy. Yes, there are times when I think, gosh, I'd really like to just roll over and cuddle up to Guy, but I'll get up, I'll go, you know. And by the time I get halfway down the road and I'm awake, I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, here we go. You get into your rhythm and it's fine. Now, for some of you, gardening will be your happy place. Not many of you will find running your happy place. But the thing is that both of them are disciplines, and how we view them and what our end goal is what keeps us going. Again, these spiritual disciplines that we're looking at are not to contain us, they're to set us free. As I look through those disciplines, and like, you know, the one I was looking at was chastity, and I was thinking it's such an old-fashioned word, you know, the belt and the lock, you know. No idea what I mean, that's good. Okay, so chastity is about keeping ourselves pure, sexually pure. Okay, and of course, when you think of that for, the unmarried, that's what we think of. But as a married woman, I still have to look at chastity. And what does that mean? Keeping myself sexually pure before God. And it was so interesting because lately life's really busy. I love to read, so I went to the library, grabbed some books. I do judge a book by its cover. The covers look really good. And when I opened the page and started reading the first page, and it was like, oh. Now, if I hadn't have been looking at this and allowing this to run through, I think, oh, well, I'll give it a couple of pages and see if it gets any better. But I stopped and I thought, if I want to keep my thoughts pure before God and before Guy, I'm not going to read it. So I put the book down. And then I'm someone who quite likes to read a book before I go to bed, and there was nothing because all the books hadn't been. And I thought, I'll just give it another go. And I picked it up and I held on to it. And praise God, the Spirit of God said to me, really? Okay. It's how is chastity going to work for each one of us? What is it going to look like? That's what it looked like for me. I just want to have a quick look before we finish it, to Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 3. And it's a scripture that you might know. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. And I think there are 7 words in here that jumped out at me. And as we look at engaging and applying these disciplines into our lives, these 7 words, I hope and I pray will help and encourage you. I've taken them out of order. The first one is consider. The second is focus. The third is discard. The fourth is run. The fifth is persevere. The sixth is endure. And the seventh is joy. As we consider our ways and choose to focus on the end goal of why we would choose to learn new habits, new disciplines, we may need to discard some old habits, which will enable us to run the race better and more effectively. Like anything new in life, you will have to begin. You have to start. So the challenge is to begin. Run. There will be times when the going gets tough and that you'll need to persevere. You'll need to endure, to push through, so that ultimately you'll have the joy of obtaining our goal. Being intentional in our spiritual growth and development shouldn't be overwhelming, but it's okay if it's challenging and confronting. Again, we look to the example of Jesus. It was challenging and confronting. He submitted himself to the Father and overcame, and the joy was set before him. If I can invite the team up, the worship team up, please. The disciplines, as I said, can have such a negative connotation. But I truly believe as we come to him and as we continue to surrender our lives to him, choosing to walk his way, we need to remember to listen out for that invitation where he says, come to me. I'll show you a better way. Watch, learn, I'll show you how to walk away so that you can be like me, kind of what he's saying. You can live lightly and you can live freely. I don't know about you, but that is the desire of my heart, that I would live lightly and freely, bringing honor and pleasure to God. Just really pray that these words would settle over your mind and your heart. Father, I just really pray that as we open ourselves up to you, trusting that you will lead us in a way that is good and that is beautiful for each one of us, I pray that we will stretch out our arms, our hands to you, trusting that you will lead us in beautiful places, that you will lead us in these unforced rhythms, that we can live lightly, that we can live freely. And in doing so, we will bring honor and glory and pleasure to you. In Jesus' name, amen.